The Silver Screen Projects.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Project, where we look back at a series of films in anticipation of an exciting new cinema release.
And we look forward to the newest MonsterVerse film, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. We go back to the start of the franchise with 2014's Godzilla. Mm. What did you think of Godzilla?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I mean, I've always liked this film. I think the promotion for it leading up to it was great. There's a great sense of scale. Gareth Edwards, just, he knows what he's doing with that. I think it has its flaws. I think, you know, as the franchise has moved on, it's gone to very different places. And yeah. Looking back at this, it's kind of funny in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's not a perfect film, but I think it's a very good Western adaptation of Godzilla. How about you?
Yeah, I really like it. You touched on the marketing. Me and friend of the podcast, David, have often spoke about how the 2014 Godzilla is the best trailer all time.
And most of that scene is directly from the film, isn't it? Yeah. I think the pacing of it's probably slightly changed.
I think it's great. I think it's probably the best American Godzilla film.
Other than this, there's the 1998
one,
and then there's the following King of the Monsters after
There's the 56 Godzilla King of the Monsters American version,
right. And that's the re-edited 54 right, okay,
which is the same, just with a bunch of American news reels talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't really count.
No.
I'd say
it's probably the best.
I'll have to rewatch King of the Monsters, which we'll talk about soon at some point.
Yeah, I don't want to skip ahead, but I do remember quite enjoying a lot of that. Yeah. I think monster-wise, there's a lot that does that this doesn't, and we'll talk about that in the negatives.
But I think this still might be, and I think we'll get into it a bit later, as you kind of sense, the tone of this is quite different to what we're building towards,
and
I feel.
Even the visuals, like, It is kind of my negatives, but it's a very grey film. And there's a lot of, in some of the action, which we'll talk about in a bit, is very grey on grey with smoke and a bit of fire. And to be fair, there's a scene at the end which kind of permeates that with the blue atomic breath. And maybe that's an intentional build-up kind of thing. But yeah, generally, like, the human drama is pretty good in this. I think the characters aren't all my leads aren't all.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth Olsen doesn't really do much.
She doesn't have much to do in this.
Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Johnson, yeah.
He's fine.
I think he's a bit bland.
He's
but
serviceable. He's not, I do think that the opening scene, Cranston one, is probably the best human stuff in all of these films.
I agree, it's very good. I think the only thing that's missing from that is maybe a little bit of some sort of monstery stuff, even a hint of it. Because I know it's kind of like it's the repercussions of something that we find out is monstery later on.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe, a building falling down in the background, or, you know, maybe a bit, maybe that would be too obvious because it kind of defeats
the. Yeah, but I just think that, Bryan Cranston's excellent in this. It's a shame he's not in it more.
Yeah, it is. I think that's the thing with the marketing, wasn't he quite heavily promoted?
And I still don't think there was really much need to kill him off.
I think him being the lead would have been much more interesting.
Yeah, rather than a military soldier
and
guy.
Because there's some good stuff they're doing with, like, the separated family where Aaron Taylor-Johnson comes back from his tour or whatever, army tour, and then he immediately gets separated by the family disaster going into the, you know, monster stuff happening. Yeah. And I like that he's kind of step by step trying to find his way back, and he joins up with the military effort.
I think it's quite well written.
In
the fact that Aaron Taylor-Johnson always just happens to be where the monster is doesn't seem like too on the nose or forced. No. It does,
because he basically asks to join up with
going to. I think I read that Quentin Tarantino said he cried at that opening scene when the wife dies, and he's like, wasn't expecting to cry, but it is quite an impactful scene. Yeah, but Bryan Cranston is great. There's the scene as well when he gets arrested.
Yeah.
And he's in interrogation.
And he's just like,
was used a lot in the trailers as well, I remember. Yeah.
Was he just saying, I know something? And it really, he's like, I know something's out there and I need to know what, you know, I'm not leaving, basically. I'm not telling you.
He killed my wife.
And Ken Watanabe's, he's a presence in this film. I don't think he's in it as much as I thought he was.
Yeah, and again, he doesn't do a load.
No, but that scene of him kind of reacting to Bryan Cranston giving this kind of almost little mini monologue
and,
there.
And he gives us the line, "Let them fight," which is just iconic.
But it's a terrible plan. And that's even, isn't it in Monarch, the TV show, there's like a joke about like, what the fuck was that guy talking about?
Yeah. I think that there's some like excellent like one-off scenes in this.
Yeah,
like,
I agree. Yeah,
I think the Muto cracking out of the egg thing.
Yeah.
I think it's great because all of the way up to that, it's kind of half teasing that that's Godzilla.
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
I remember when I first watched it with Christina, and when it cracked up, she was like, "Is that Godzilla?" And I was like, "No," but it does kind of lead you to believe that. I think it's really well done.
Totally. Yeah.
I think all of the Hawaii stuff is really good.
Yeah, all the Honolulu stuff with the monorail, and there's the great scene, which I feel like is, I know you don't like Cloverfield very much, but it has Cloverfield elements where the team with the torches in the dark, and they're kind of, it's almost like POV because it's shaky cam, and they're looking and you don't know what it is, and then suddenly there's this hulking thing that's just chomping on the, it's really a submarine, isn't it? Like a nuclear submarine,
I think fantastic. I think this kind of highlights why I don't like Cloverfield, because this is done really well and Cloverfield isn't. I think the first appearance of Godzilla is really good on Hawaii, when you kind of just see the huge leg like
the foot,
past, and then like the red lights like landing on him, and it's like
there was an interview with Gareth Edwards recently where he was saying that a lot of the action was pre-visualized, so they do like the really janky CG to kind of storyboard it out. And then the Bigfoot wasn't part of that, and he had to kind of fight and be like, we need to have that in here as well. And it's like, that is, and the sound design's great there as well, because this crowd are all screaming, and as soon as the foot goes down, it's just like silence. Like it's it's a great,
in general, the sound on this,
the sound is really good. The Mutos have a really kind of, it's like a almost like a tree creaking kind of sound. It feels really like natural but like alien,
and really unique, like you can hear that and you know it's gonna be the Mutos.
And even the design of them, it's not my favorite design because they're completely original for this, aren't they? It's kind of cockroachy. I mean, there's the two designs of the male and female of the species, but it's kind of like almost this rock kind of crystalline. They're like smooth, they don't have joints, like Godzilla's scaly, so the movement feels very natural. It almost feels like they're these kind of bending kind of, something very unnatural and very alien about
the way
they move.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, when you get those huge like pterodons that kind of walk on their like fists like that. Kind of reminds me. I mean, the Muto is great for an original as well, which, considering the response to the 98 film, it's probably a bit of a risk doing an original monster for the new American.
I'm surprised they didn't do like one of the, well, from the next film.
I read that apparently, I don't think I'll put it in my trivia, the studio pushed for it to be King Ghidorah. But Gareth Edwards wanted, the whole thing of King Ghidorah is that King Ghidorah is an alien, and he wanted it to be like an Earth thing.
A terrestrial kind of thing. Because they do establish a new lore in this, don't they? And the opening credits are great. They do a little background thing, and we've seen now some of that a bit more expanded on in Monarch, which is nice. Like the bomb is like straight from
I mentioned that, like, I've written down like the Monarch links, like, I think watching Monarch does now add to this film.
And I never watched the last three or so episodes, but I would like to get back to it now that I'm kind of back in the
I think it is worth,
before watching the new film, I'll try and catch up,
there might be
in something, case there's anyone crossing over.
The other scene I really like is when they go to the nuclear waste site and they're looking in all the holes, and then one of the little slots just light comes out and they open the door and it's just a hole in the side of the mountain, and then they see the Muto. Like, it's a bit kind of silly with like the timing and stuff, but like, it looks great as like, all the soldiers going through, and then just the light and then the hole, like it's really fun.
Talking about like bits that are, you know, stand-up bits, there's the whole scene on the Golden Gate Bridge, which again we've seen again in Monarch.
I wrote down that there's a bit in that really makes me laugh, where the police are like, there's still buses on the bridge, and you go to like the bridge and like three of the four lanes are blocked off by the police, and I'm like, well, maybe if you didn't block off most of the bridge, the people could get off the bridge, like, and then that one guy like drives through the school bus. It's like, Yeah, like, just go open. Through, you yeah. don't need all three lanes.
There's a scene a little bit after that with when one of the Mutos uses the EMP attack and all the planes are dropping out of the sky.
Yeah,
love that. And it's very. That, I feel like I've seen that in like Roland Emmerich kind of end yeah, of the world movie.
And I think what I love about that is you see it from Elizabeth Olsen's perspective. You see the single yeah. parachuted guy,
yeah.
and then the plane hits the building behind
the
her.
Impact, yeah.
And you're like, what? And then all the others start coming. Yeah, you're yeah. like, yeah, it's
really
great.
Cool, yeah.
I think all the action in this is great.
Yeah.
Like I it's think, really well choreographed
yeah,
and like
yeah, yeah.
and like you kind of meant the sense of scale with it as well. Mm. Like the slow moving Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that a lot of the action is filmed from like a civilian point of view.
Yeah.
So you see these giant monsters fighting,
yeah.
and it's often like, oh, they're on a train or they're running away. Yeah. You see like these huge
which we've
things
seen
fighting.
In the next two Japanese Godzillas. We mentioned it when we did Shin Godzilla. There's some good shots yeah. from cars and stuff. And from buildings, and then Godzilla Minus One as well has done that recently.
Yeah, I think it's really effective, particularly in like a first Godzilla film where yeah. you're seeing this monster for the first
time. There's some good, even when it's like shots from the sky, which you know they could be on a plane, but I think it's just camera shots. You
yeah.
can often see like the top of a building or something like that as a shot kind of pans, and it gives you a sense of reference. And
yeah,
and because Gareth Edwards did Monsters before this, which they're not yeah. quite as big, like he did all the special effects for that himself on yeah. his own, so it's like he knows how to do this, and that's how he got the gig kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
that is why he got the gig. It's worth the atomic breath is great. You mentioned yep. like the blue lights coming up the first time you see it.
Yeah,
it's
great. The tail, yeah.
And then the decapitation of the yeah. final Muto yeah. is just one of the best bits of Godzilla ever, including the Japanese films.
And it's like, got like a really triumphant kind of music and the roar yeah. afterwards. It's just, yeah, it's good stuff. Then we mentioned earlier the Halo jump. We didn't specifically mention it, but that whole scene's fantastic.
I was going to say the soundtrack to that as yeah. well is excellent.
And just the general sound design when I think it's probably from Aaron Taylor Johnson's POV. There's from within the goggles kind yeah. of thing, and you can hear the breath kind of quickening.
And you slowly go past like Godzilla's head and you're yeah. like, fucking hell.
So good. And then the other part I wanted to mention, the nuke timer, that whole situation, which, you know, is why they're doing the Halo jump, I think is a really good motivation, and it's a really kind of good little like mission they have to go do.
Yeah.
I almost wish that was more of the film. I feel like you could build a whole film around that.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it's a really good way of getting your main character in the middle of this fight, like on the
yeah,
ground.
Yeah, exactly. And they use it perfectly. I really like that idea. It almost feels like, I think they did something with the first Suicide Squad film where they had to go in and get a target in the war zone.
Yeah,
it's a classic kind
of. It kind of makes you feel like a level of a game as well.
Yes, yeah.
Like
yeah.
a Godzilla game where you're the human character, you've yeah. got to go in and get the bomb.
It's a very straightforward objective, but it's like, yeah, you're getting right in the thick of it. And then yeah. he obviously carries that on and he's out on the boat and there's all that stuff there, and it's good stuff. Generally speaking, that it's yeah a lot so of this film is good. There are some negatives. I mean, I don't know if you've got any
before
more
I've got
stuff.
A couple of random it's I remember at the time thinking it was funny that this film came out the same year as Avengers Age of Ultron, where Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen are siblings.
Yes,
and in this they're a couple.
Yeah, and there's quite a
very
few
weird
like,
coincidence
quite a few long kissing scenes in this.
Yeah, you're like, what are you doing to your sister, Quicksilver?
I mean, in the Ultimate Comic Universe, then.
We don't talk about the Ultimate Comic Universe. The other thing as well, I think, obviously, because we know we've context because we're watching the film, but I always feel at the end of this, the people of San Francisco yeah. are really forgiving to Godzilla. And they're like, he's our hero. It's like, if you live in San Francisco, you've seen these two big monsters turn up, fight, destroy the city. One of them wins, they walk off. And it's like, why is this guy a hero?
Like, I guess it's like it ended it. But then Aaron Taylor Johnson is like the real, he stopped to being nuked. He burned all the eggs.
Yeah.
There was like 100 eggs there. Yeah. He never gets mentioned again. And maybe he's mentioned in Monarch offhand, but I don't know his name. So I don't know if he was mentioned. Cole, maybe?
Ford.
Ford.
So yeah, I remember thinking it's a dumb name.
Yeah.
Ford. Some, his surname was a reference to something I read.
Okay, yeah.
Ford, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah, they do kind of go, oh yeah, hero, and it's on the TV. What's it?
King Killer of the Monsters?
Like question mark or something, yeah, like that. Yeah, and even that bit where Godzilla walks out at the end, it's like, how many people are you killing on the way past?
Yeah.
Like, I know everyone's supposed to be in that stadium. They're all,
yeah,
away,
but yeah. We saw there's some people still trapped under debris.
Well, exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. I think the only real negative I've got is that there's not enough Godzilla in this.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of not... I really like the whole, like, almost inspired by Jaws type thing of not showing the monster, yeah, for like an hour, teasing
Alien
the monster
kind of thing, yeah,
and then are you only seeing glimpse of the monster. I think it's really effective, particularly works well as it is the first film.
Yeah.
But I would like to have seen a bit more.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from. I feel like the fact that you don't see a glimpse of Godzilla till halfway through, on a rewatch, you're kind of like, okay, I could have used a bit more there.
Yeah.
And my main thing, really...
It could have done with, like how Godzilla Minus One does. It has, like, an hour without Godzilla, but you've got that opening, yeah, scene.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe do something like
this
that.
This is what I'm thinking. If there'd been some more indication of kaiju-specific stuff in that opening credit, in that opening scene, it might have tied me over a bit more. And then the other thing, main thing, is that I really like the use of, like, oh, someone's watching something on a TV, but so often, twice in this film, we miss big things and then we see them filmed on TV afterwards.
Yeah.
Like when their kid is watching the news and you can see in Honolulu there's this great battle going on,
yeah,
and then we just see the aftermath, and the first time it's effective, and then you see the same thing with the female Muto walking through Las Vegas,
yeah,
and you just see the aftermath and you see these like cool shots on TV, and it's like, that's a great way of getting around budget and maybe,
yeah,
making it seem a bit more realistic. But I would have liked, I think it kind of makes up for it with the action at the end, but I feel like it's kind of, it's so like teasing it, you're like,
yeah,
oh.
And I think it's nice to be teased in, yeah, that way, particularly with a big monster movie, but
yeah,
there's balance.
I think it's on rewatch more than anything. I don't think, yeah, I had any problems with it up front.
I think it worked first watching, yeah, it works effectively, but yeah, on rewatch it's a bit like, okay, like, get to the bit.
Yeah, and the ending kind of comes around pretty quickly, and it kind of wraps up. It's just he walks off and then the film just ends, and I'm like, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
I don't need to see what these guys do afterwards. They're all back together. It's kind of the,
yeah,
end. But yeah, it's a slight criticism, you know. But,
yeah,
but other than that, you know, I'm pretty good on
pretty
this
good
one.
So
yeah,
I've got a few bits of trivia. Ah, oh, Ford Brody.
Brody. Do you know what that's a reference for?
No. But the first bit of trivia I've got is Dr. Ishiro Serizawa, played by Ken Watanabe, is named after Ishiro Honda, director of Godzilla 1954, and Dr. Daisuke Serizawa, one of the main characters in Godzilla 1954. I think I never really paid it, but when he said, oh, Serizawa, I was like, wait, is he just called Serizawa? Have I not noticed that before? Because he's the guy who invented the oxygen bomb in the 54 one.
Yeah.
Which we spoke about last year.
Yeah, because I think lore-wise, so we kind of touched on it with the opening credits kind of thing. They've completely changed it. It's not any kind of it's not like any kind of requel kind of follow-up,
yeah,
is it?
And so it's rather than Godzilla being a response to like nuclear warfare, Godzilla's an ancient monster who lived when Earth was more radioactive.
Yeah, and it's
now been woken up.
Ken Watanabe's theory is that it's like a almost like a immune response to something happening on the planet, kind of thing. And yeah, and we see that more in the later films. They talk about Titans and Alphas and all that kind
and
of thing.
And then you get into the Hollow Earth.
Yeah, we talk about that next week.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting...
It won't be next week, it'll be a few weeks.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on when we release it.
Yeah. Next episode after that. Yeah.
Is it King of the Monsters?
Episode after next.
Episode after us?
No, King of the Monsters they talk about.
Do they?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Because that's the whole thing. King Ghidorah's the new alpha and all that. And they have to all fight. Yeah, they talk about it a bit.
Okay. it's Godzilla vs. Kong, they proper go.
They go into the Hollow Earth. So the second
trivia I've got is Godzilla was originally planned to be found preserved in a Siberian glacier.
Okay.
And this was changed when the filmmakers saw that Man of Steel, which came out the year before, had a similar scene.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I couldn't kind of see
that.
And I think it doesn't work as well as just having him frozen in Siberia.
I think it's an easy out of being like he's you know,
been out of action for
yeah,
a while,
out of action. Yeah. But instead, it's well, Hollow Earth is one theory, and we don't know for sure if he was sitting in the Hollow Earth, but it seems like it.
Yeah, we see in King of the Monsters that he just goes and chills at the bottom of the ocean for a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, and there is a temple under there,
yeah,
which there's a whole thing with a bomb and that, isn't there?
Yeah. The third one I've got is in the Brody home in 2014, Janjira, a terrarium can be seen with a roach crawling on it labeled Mothra.
Nice.
Which I noticed. I was like, oh, that's cool. I guess they kind of scrapped that because the actual Mothra we see is kind of another, unrelated. Yeah, yeah. But
I think for this universe, something being mutated to grow that big is a bit out of kind of...
Yeah.
And even in the original, isn't Mothra, there's like an ancient thing and there's women, yeah, there's twins or some, twins, there's something the, about it, isn't it?
Yeah, from a
bit more mystical island. Kind of, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And finally, Gareth Edwards and the design group reviewed all previous incarnations of Godzilla's design for inspiration on the final design.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that at all, but he's
the design's great,
big chunky, yeah, kind of slightly quite a human face in a lot of ways. There's the scene where
so that he can falls
down and kind of makes eye contact with Aaron Taylor Johnson those two names Aaron Taylor Johnson, and you can see kind of the pain in the face and
Gareth Edwards said the way I tried to view it was imagine Godzilla was a real creature and someone from Toho saw him in the 50s and ran back to the studio and tried to make a movie about the creature and was trying his best to remember him and draw it, and in our film you get to see him for real. Right. It's important that this felt like Toho Godzilla. Yeah. And it does compare, like the 98 Godzilla is an abomination.
It's a whole different thing, isn't it?
Whereas this does look like a 2014 version of the 54 Godzilla.
Yeah.
In the same way we kind of said about Shin Godzilla and Godzilla Minus One last year, they all can be seen as equal interpretations of that 54 Godzilla in the modern day.
Yeah. And even to be fair, Godzilla Minus One probably was influenced a lot by this design because the kind of the stockiness of it. I know that's the original Godzilla as well, but it's the evolution, the ways that certain bits are being made bigger and
like the tree trunk legs
and the spines and all that. What you call them? Fins, dorsal fins.
Dorsal fins, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
But, yeah, so all that's left is to ask you whether this got you more or less hyped for Godzilla X Kong, the new empire.
Yeah, no, definitely a prod, yes, yeah. I really enjoyed this. I think I've only seen this maybe three times now. I haven't watched this very much. But yeah, I really enjoyed it and I'm looking forward to the new one. Yeah, what about you?
I'm going to say prod no.
Okay.
Partly because I've seen the trailer for Godzilla X Kong a few times, and I think like watching this kind of reminds me of how far this franchise has gone from this. Yeah. And like a lot of the stuff that I really like about this version of Godzilla
is lost.
Like there's a bit in the trailer of Godzilla and Kong like running next to each other.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's holding up so far. I'm just like, oh,
I've seen
they both look like 5 foot tall.
I've seen them. The director said it's like a buddy cop movie, which like in principle is fun, but it's so different to this. Like,
exactly. And like it's a prod no, not because I don't love this film, but because I do love this film. And it's
I get that. Yeah,
and I get that, you know, this franchise had its natural progression. They couldn't keep making this.
No,
but it does.
If you saw this and then thought like he's fighting kind of these weird alien cockroach looking things, he's buddy copped up with Kong with a robot hand or whatever's going on there. And now he's got pink glowing spines all the time. It's become a little bit more cartoonish, hasn't
it? And I mean, it's kind of the natural thing for Godzilla. Once you've made three or four Godzilla films, they start getting silly. Yeah. Like that's just the way Godzilla
is. At least they're staying faithful in that manner.
I guess that's why Toho are just rebooting it every time now. But yeah, that is Godzilla 2014. We'll be back next time to not talk about Godzilla, but talk about Kong.
Wow, almost had a slip there.
Kong Skull Island.
We're talking about Cunt Skull
Island. We'll go back to the 70s.
And if you... Kong was big in the 70s. And Kong, sorry. And and if you like this, we've got the same kind of stuff on the same podcast channel under a different name, Project.
Yes. Bye.
Project.